here tonight, O Lord. We'll give you the honor and the thanks and the praise for it all. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's a couple of seats down here. If somebody would like to come down and take them. I'd like to welcome all of you here tonight. This is a board workshop. The difference between a workshop and a regular board meeting is that we do not vote on anything at a workshop. Everything else is the same, though. The rules are the same, and I will go over a few of the rules. If you would like to speak this evening, raise your hand and wait to be recognized by the chair. And then I will ask you to come down to the podium, state your name and address, and then you'll have 3 minutes to speak. We'd like for you to try to say what you're going to say in the 3 minutes so that other people can come up and have their turn to speak. And if we all speak one time and use our 3 minutes, we'll still be here a long time, but we'll try to accommodate everybody that wants to speak. We ask that that you have respect for each other, and if you have your cell phone and if you have not silenced it, if you would do so at this time, we would appreciate it. What I'd like to do, if it pleases the board, I would like to take the board to discuss road closures in Taylor County, which is item number 4, and have it next as number 3. And then next would be the board to discuss future space needs of the county extension program, and then the board to discuss Hampton Springs Park, and then finally the board to discuss the county work order system, if that pleases the board.
No objection.
Okay, thank you. So, number 3. The board to discuss road closures in Taylor County. Commissioner Moody, did you?
Yes, ma'am. We have a road down there off the Two Hackney Road. It's called Tower Grade, goes to the tower down there. There was a group of people that called me and discussed that the fire truck left Two Hackney, or ambulance left Two Hackney heading to them. Instead of going down there and turning and going 3 miles, they'd have to go all the way to the Fish Creek grade, come all the way back around through across Fish Creek, and come back around through the woods to get to the house. And it seems like to me there's no issue there. The county's maintained that road off and on for years and graded it around 2010. For some reason, they didn't. It used to be like when it needed it, they graded it, but they didn't put grade. And it's a safety issue for the people that live there. 3 miles off there from 10 or 12 miles with a fire truck and ambulance. So that's what I had to say about it. And Mr. McCoy might want to comment on that. He's in the audience, I believe, right here.
But I only get to speak once. I want to go last.
Second.
Can I save half my time for at the end or something? I really don't have much to add, Mr. Moody. I've spoken to a few different county managers, excluding Mr. Lakey. I don't think we ever talked about it recently. But, excuse me, Travis McCoy, 1700 Foley Lane is my work address. But I'm the Woodlands manager for 4 Arizona Democrats. But I talked to previous county managers about the road, and our belief that it was a county road, and were told previously that it is not, or that they were not going to be maintaining it. I don't believe it's listed. It's the road is listed on your county road list, but not the entire length. the portion that has been maintained over the last several years is from the Fish Creek grade down to about where the old fire tower is, which is about 3 miles or so north of the beach road. So we did install gates on the grade, talked to some of the immediate neighbors there, told them what was going on, and asked them to help us share the word. And we are aware that they're not happy about that. But if it is a private road, then we're gating and lock it off. On the flip side, the reason I had spoke to previous county managers is that I thought it was a county road, and we're more than happy for it to be a county road. But if it's not, we're going to gate it. If it's a county road, we'll take the gates back up, and we'll be quite happy and content that it is a county road. It's a good cut through.
Right.
So I'm not sure if you have any questions for me, I'll try to answer them. But that's the circumstances as I know them.
We can't make a decision tonight, but this is a workshop. But my recommendation would be for the county to take that 3 mile of the road again, if we could, and when the time comes, because of the safety issue for the people that live there. Fire truck and ambulance, if you have to go 10 or 12 more miles, could be an issue for them. And that's not. And Mr. Travis said that if we took the road, they'd move the gates and we'd go on with business.
Yes.
May I address?
Sure.
Travis, I think I heard you say that if it's deemed to be a county road, then you take the gates out.
Yes, sir.
If it's deemed to be a county road.
Yeah, the reason I chose those words, I think, is, well, go ahead, excuse me.
All right, I was going to ask Mr. Bishop. I believe I've also heard here tonight that it was maintained up until 2010.
So
2010? That's what we heard.
That was one figure hour now.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure our road department has that. It's 2010, and this is what, 2018?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'll have to listen to our attorney for him to tell us whether or not it's a county, could be deemed a county road. If so, I agree with Commissioner Moody.
Well, there's a statute with regard to building and maintaining a road for continuous years. That statute can be deemed as a county road, but on the other hand, if you abandon it for a continuous period of time, it may lose its status if you don't have a deed to it. So essentially what needs to be done with regard to that road is to do some research and determine, you know, from the road department exactly when they stopped, if they stopped maintaining it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I understand, and that's sort of what I expected you to tell us.
Do we, ma'am?
Okay, after Commissioner Moody.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Moody, and then Commissioner Dennis.
In the past, we did one down on South 19. Y'all remember it?
Yeah.
6 or 8 months ago.
Right.
I loaded the old retired grader operator in my truck and carried him down there. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Gordon, have you ever graded this road? He said, yeah, I graded it for years, you know. And we accepted that road, and that was the bottom line. It's something that, and in that situation, it wasn't a safety issue. It wasn't as important as this issue, because that safety business, that fire truck and ambulance for 911 for a deputy to get there would be a lot more. Yes.
Commissioner Dennis. Okay.
How do we get by with just not doing what we need to do? If someone was living on the road, then it's our responsibility to maintain it. If we abandon it, then that means we don't want to maintain it and we don't even care about it. I don't know where the road at. But when people go to, I reckon, cataloging their land, and the more land they have, the better off they are. with the safety issue you're talking about, how many people is it affected? Just a family or two?
No, there's several families, and then there's several camps there that comes and goes. And I'm not exactly sure how many people live there full time, but there is a couple of families that live there full time. And I mean, and one of the fellas that I talked to, he's elderly, and he has had issues before and had to call ambulance before. And so, I mean, the ambulance comes from Team Hatchie to them. They're coming from the south.
Dixie County side.
Right. They come in. They never get there from down in time if you need them, but they come out of Team Hatchie.
Yes.
If I'm understanding Travis, though, just because we want to deem it a county road, they're not going to agree with that. We got to prove that it's a county road. If I'm listening to you, what you just said.
No, let me clarify a couple of things.
Why don't you?
Yeah. Well, one, we're not cutting off public access to anybody's private property. The county road that still exists, that's still open, the gates are up now, access is available to every property owner down there. It's not legal to close off somebody's private property.
That's
you have
true.
To provide an access. We've not done that. There's a public road right in front of their house. It goes to the Fish Creek grade. It's a matter of convenience and arguably safety, which we have attempted to address because we try to be good citizens, and we have provided keys to the emergency medical, response folks to help them be able to go and come. So that part, I mean, we're not insensitive big overs, but no, we're not asking to prove it because, quite frankly, I think it is a county road. And I've thought that for
quite
a while.
Write it down, folks.
So I think it's a public hearing, probably being recorded. So I believe that that road all the way through has been county maintained historically.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, my employees used to grant it for the county. So
appreciate that.
Yes. Okay. Anything else?
I concur with the other board members. I'd like to see us maintain and accept the road. That would be good. Now, I've had calls from constituents and other people that are not constituents about road closings in Taylor County, and there seems to be a lot of people that are concerned about that. A lot of roads being closed, and you don't have access to the woods anymore and to do the things that we all grew up doing. And there may be, I think there's someone here that would like to address that also. So I'm sure you'll be coming back up then.
I'm only allowed to talk one time for either of them.
Okay. Thank you, Travis. Yes.
Mr. Odom, do you want to come and speak? If you want to come to the podium and state your name and address.
Let me tell you all first.
If you'll come up here, state your name and address.
I have never spoken before a group in my life. But
you're doing a good job.
That's
so far.
Right.
Thank you, buddy. But what I wanted to get across, and this guy right here helped us and opened the door with it, is our horse people, like my wife and two or three more that I know here, they like to ride horses, and we can't get off the road. There's no place. We made a circle around the San Pedro Bay where I was born and raised, rode horses in there all my life, and there is gates with 10 locks on it all down the Main Bay Canal, and all the way around it. We went day before yesterday trying to find a place that we could go to ride horses. And we're also losing our land by hunting and things that we use every year, you know. Because I was in the sand hill for 20 years, come back to ferry. And now they lost all kind of land there. I called this to some of my members, and they haven't paid any attention to it, but we are losing land, I mean, all over the place. I'm in the Three Rivers now, and it's been logged from one end to the other. Looked like the Sahara Desert, you know. We don't have the deer where they used to be. You can't find them. And it looks to me like that that something could be looked at and come up with a seeing if couldn't get somebody to lead out on this stuff. Like this lady right here, you know, she's pretty good at leading out. But I don't have much to say, but if we don't start doing something now, several years from now, it's going to be a big change in our county, I believe. I might be wrong, I hope I am. But that's about all I've got to say now, and you know what the rest is. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Anybody else here that would like to speak about the roads? Okay. Can you help us?
I'm not sure how much help I am, but I will clarify a couple things. Our company owns 560,000 acres. We're the largest timberland owner in the state of Florida, and that's right here in Perry. And we're a quiet company, and we like to be that way. But in my personal view, I think this community is very lucky to have the company that I work for. This is one of the most unique pieces of property in the Southeast. It truly is. A virtually contiguous piece of property that's held by a single entity is unheard of east of the Mississippi River. I've been in the timber business for 22 years, almost 23 years now, and have the honor to manage that company and that piece of land. So, to answer a couple of your points, or to at least counter-argue them, we have hunting leases on virtually every acre of property that we own. There are certain parcels that they're just not compatible with hunting. We have hunting clubs in this county that are larger than any other hunting club anywhere around. They're very big. So hunting, as far as our company goes, we've been in the lease business. Both this company and its predecessor, who I was the wilderness manager of as well. So hunting in Taylor County is, I think, on good ground. I think it's in good standing. As far as hunting clubs being cut from one end to the other, that just doesn't happen, quite frankly. We are a big timber company. We do cut a lot of acreage every year. But proportionately, it is well maintained and managed. We reforest everything. We plantation timber, and our natural timber is naturally regenerated. So we don't leave the land unproductive. And I dare say that while we're not the largest employer in the county, most companies in this county have some sort of interaction with us, directly or indirectly. So I think we've got a great resource here. I'm proud to work on that piece of property. And if you want to know a little more about us, you're more than welcome to come have a cup of coffee with us.
Let me ask you a question, because he did refer to riding horses. And there are a lot of people in Taylor County that like to go out and ride their horses. And you know, I hear complaints that there's fewer and fewer places, and I know we have a track down at Hampton Springs, and it's only like 100 acres, and I don't ride horses, so I don't know, but they tell me that it doesn't take very long to go over 100 acres. So let me ask you this. Is there any possibility at all that y'all could designate some acreage just for equestrians, and not hunting, just so people can ride the horses? And from what I've heard, the people that ride horses are not the ones that throw garbage all over the place and beer bottles and things like that, and I'm sure that's part of y'all's concern.
There are a number of concerns about any land use that we interact with, quite honestly. In today's society, it's a very litigious society, and it is a mitigated risk that we do everything, and that's anybody that's doing anything. You make your property available, you have certain things that you need to protect it up. I don't want to say either direction on whether we would consider that today.
Okay. Well, would you, if you have a business card, could you give one to Mr. Odom so maybe the two of y'all could get together, and if he would like to, and see, you know, what you can come up with potentially, and
I'll be happy to speak to him.
Yeah. Is that yes? You want
to
come? If you'll come forward, state your name and address.
That's my wife.
My name is Lynn Odom. I live at 650 Simpopple Road, Perry, 32347. We understand the ownership. We understand the liability. It can't be any more dangerous to ride a four-wheeler than it is a horse. But what we're asking the commission, what we'd like to see, is for not only your company, but the commission to help us draw together the state and federal lands. We have a lot of land here. But what they do now is during the hunting season, which is prime time to ride a horse, then we're just not allowed to. And right now, the closest place we can go is Mayo, and that's 38, 40 miles hauling a horse. Danger on the road and everything else. We do pay a lot of taxes here. All horse owners have property tax, vehicle tax, tax, you know, so we would just like to see some kind of liaison form so that there are designated areas where equestrians would be safe. You know, we're not asking to, you know, for you to quit turkey hunting or whatever, you know what I mean? We're not against hunting. Most of our husbands hunt. A lot of us hunt. But, you know, we need somebody in the county, whether you guys father it or what, so that we can get together, coordinated effort. We have as much, I think, tourism and all from those type of activities from out of the county as you do on your mud buyers. And I don't think we make this much of a mess, and I'm not prejudiced. That's all I really have to say. And that was what we were eager to try to do, because we've got kids that don't have any place to go. They really don't. And it's not your fault. It's not the ownership of the company's fault. But there ought to be some way that we can make it available to our youth and our old folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to ask staff if we can further look into this and see, you know, if there are any possibilities, because there are a lot of equestrians in Taylor County. And so, do y'all mind to do that?
Yeah,
okay, great. Thank you.
Yes. I'll say, unless they change it just shortly, in a short period of time, I'm not aware of it. Down on Highway 14, down on 98, the state park down there lets people ride horses in the state park. Have y'all ever rode down there?
There is some, but during a lot of the season, it's close and it runs by that property down there, and all of those roads are lime rock hard. And unless you go to the expense of putting shoes or boots on a horse, it's actually dangerous. You know, and it's detrimental to the animal. So, like I said, there have to be places that aren't rock out like that. You know, there are dirt roads all over our county, and we can do that as long as we're allowed to do it. And once again, it's state land and everything else. We just need time to have a bike here that we can ride when the weather's cool enough and the bugs and all of them.
Mr. Rowell, you want to come forward, state your name and address?
I'm Ollie Ralph, East Eddy Road. Got a little bit different perspective. We've got a lot of coastal land, water management district land, and I was the first person that the Nature Conservancy called and said, "Do you think P&G would sell the coast?" I automatically think we'll do it, evolve, and they did. I talked to George Wilson last week, and he's the one that negotiated for the state to buy it. And there's a real commitment. All that land is open to the public, okay? But everywhere you go, there's gates. Now, they've turned some of it over to these are parks, some of the game fish, some of the federal wildlife memorandum ourselves. But I'd encourage the county to write a resolution to all those apes and ask them to open it up. At least some control. I want water management. We let them lock it up for a year to get a management plan. Then it's supposed to be opened up. Chapter 373 in water management land simply says you've got to demonstrate that use has it. You've got to allow the public use unless you can demonstrate that use will contradict the purpose you bought it. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of public land. It just opened up. I'd say that's all some of the issues. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to close any roads. All that land they bought, some of them have got restrictions. They bought easements into them. We need to keep those open. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. There's a world of land right there that one river got by off north of Mossy Hammock. That would be good running.
That's our land.
That's right.
Anyone else want to speak on this issue? If not, Mr. Lakey, would y'all prepare, well, just put it on the next agenda for us to discuss if we want to do a resolution. And then we'll vote on that, and if so, then at the meeting after that, we could have the resolution back. Thank you. Okay, if there's no further discussion on that issue, then we're going to go to number four, the board to discuss future space needs of the county extension program. What I've done this evening is I have prepared an outline to present to you all that might help you understand a little bit more about what's going on and what has gone on. So if you'll just allow me a couple of minutes or so to present this. The Forest Capitol Hall Committee's mission has been to renovate the Forest Capitol Hall and create a vision for its use. This committee is like all of our other advisory committees, such as the Airport Committee and the TCRAB Committee. They report to and make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners. The Board of County Commissioners then puts the recommendations on the agenda for discussion, and then decisions are made as to the next step. The Board of County Commission may or may not adopt the recommendations from the committee. All the stakeholders, such as staff and the citizens, are represented on the committee. For example, I am the rep for the Board of County Commission. Dawn Taylor is the rep for the Chamber of Commerce. Sandy Beach is the rep for the Tourism Development Council. Scott Mitzen is the rep for GP. Clay Olson is the rep for the County Extension, and there are other committee members. It is the responsibility of the rep to accurately inform the stakeholders as to what is going on. Many Forest Capitol Hall upgrades were needed and identified to bring the decades-old facility to an acceptable standard. Many discussions by the committee were held to develop a vision for Forest Capitol Hall that would better serve all of the citizens of Taylor County and allow the facility to be used to its fullest capacity to make Taylor County great. Not only was the vision discussed, but funding sources were explored, which included grants and donations, both of which were obtained. The vision included what renovations and enhancements were needed and potential uses of the facility. Among some of the needed improvements identified were electrical, sewer, restrooms, flooring, stage, ceiling, seating, safety handrails, safety stage entrance and exit rails, painting, lobby, storage, kitchen, heat and air conditioning controls, exterior paint, parking lot spaces, parking lot resurfacing, parking lot lights. Some potential facility uses identified were sports venues, entertainment, trade shows, rentals, banquets, competitions, pageants, graduations, business meetings, conferences, housing of the Chamber of Commerce, Taylor County Development Authority, and the Tourism Development Council, and the Taylor County Extension Program. Many discussions included different scenarios for the future of county extension, including expansion. For future expansion of our programs and venues at Forest Capitol Hall, we will need more space. Our children are already displaced to vacant rooms at times due to events held on location. Currently, it is not a huge problem, but as we schedule more events at Forest Capitol Hall, it will be an issue. In addition, there may be a concern of children being in an area where a number of people are coming in and out to set up for an event. They would be displaced again to another room. The options explored of what to do were, number one, leave County Extension where it is. Number two, expand the existing building to accommodate the Chamber of Commerce, Taylor County Development Authority, and the Tourism Development Council. Number three, find another off-site location that has a suitable building already on it. Number four, find another location to construct a new facility. Or number five, construct a new facility somewhere on the present Forest Capitol Park grounds. Discussion of locating another place that already has a suitable building on it was not embraced. Discussion surrounding another location away from the Forest Capitol Park and building a new facility on it was not embraced. Discussion of expanding the current facility was not embraced. Discussion of constructing a new county extension facility somewhere on the present grounds has been presented recently. This is the purpose of this meeting tonight. Funding sources would be through grants, sales tax, and donations. Simply put, the reason for a new county extension facility is, number one, to plan for the future growth of one of the most important programs that we have, and two, to utilize the Forest Capitol Hall to its fullest potential. Rest assured, if we continue with the current vision, we will have a good path forward with a solid plan, funding, and a clear course of action. We are not trying to displace our children and put businesses ahead of them. I and this board wholeheartedly support 4-H and all the other county extension programs. Why would anyone not want a new and larger facility where programs could be expanded to accommodate more of our children? So I wanted to try to give you, facts about what's happening, where we are. I've heard lots of rumors about things that I think are misunderstood. So at this time, I'll open the floor for anyone who has any questions or any comments. If you will come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Good evening. I'm Sarah Cohn, residing at 1363 Pinecrest Street. I guess my beginning question would be, one, has extension...
If you will address the board, ma'am. Thank you.
Has the extension office requested additional space, new facilities. Is that a concern that they have specifically brought forth? And then additionally, has the chamber expressed needs for additional space? I know recently, and I would be curious as far as the numbers, the chamber did a renovation, they got new furnishings for the building, they painted. It seems like we've already invested in that building. And if both buildings are currently serving their purpose, is there a need to move people? I don't want to say displaced, because I do not believe that that's the intention of the board. But if the building is working for the group that it is currently serving, I'm not sure why there would be a need to move them. As someone who serves as a volunteer for it for 4-H, who has children who are in 4-H, and then also recognizes that although 4-H is a significant part of our extension office does much more. They do ag in our community, they the marine life, and I feel like if the extension office feels like that building is serving them, it would be a disservice to them to try to move them. And I think that it would be a disservice to our children and our community, because long term, possibly in a decade or more, we could establish the funds to create a building like the Armory. But short term, 5 years, I personally believe that's probably not budget-wise sustainable, even with grants. I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars of building a facility in today's time that would be comparable to the Armory now.
Thank you. Okay, next. Anyone else? Okay.
My name is Leanne, and I reside at 10144 Newman Whitehead Road.
Leanne, what?
Lee Newman.
Lee.
And I kind of want to piggyback on what Farrah said. You know, you hear from the board, and it all sounds like you've got your vision for what the Armory is, and you're not displacing children, but yet you've already gotten the answer to, oh, we're going to get the grants, and we're going to need tax money, and we're going to need donor money. And that all sounds great, because it sounds like these kids are going to be moved, and here's why we're going to move them, and this is what we have in our idea for the Armory. But none of that's a guarantee. So what happens when we don't get the grants? What happens when we don't have the tax money? What happens when we don't get the donor money, and our kids don't have the ability to have the programs that they have now? I mean, I serve on the advisory board for the 4-H. I am a 4-H volunteer, and at no point have we ran out of room and we've asked. And then I was also told, well, if the county's willing to give you money, you might want to get it now because you may not get it in 5 years. But I don't see as we should be forced, but then I don't want it to be seen that we're not taking what's being offered. Because honestly, we want what's best for our children. And right now, our children are getting what's best. We've not outgrown, and we, I mean, it was twisted last time that by not asking for this money, we didn't want our programs to grow. And that's not the case, because our programs are growing, but we are able to accommodate our programs with the space that we have now. So my concern is the money. I mean, you can say we can do this and we can do this, but that's not a guarantee. And what we have now is a guarantee. And just as they said, you know, Don's office was just renovated. It's great. The extension's office was just renovated. It's great. Why do we need to build something else or renovate something else when what we have is working? That's my concern.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak? Just a moment. Yes, come on.
Sandy Beach, 20011. Beach Road here in Florida, 32348. As many of y'all know, I'm on the Chamber Board of Directors and also the Chairman for our Tourism Development Council. And we have made significant improvements to our building. Personally, just me personally, not as a representative of any of the boards, I think that it makes sense for us to be at Forest Capitol Hall. That's where we hold events. That's where the majority of the traffic coming through town passes. You know, one of the visions that we have is putting a billboard out there to promote any events that we have coming up. I don't feel that in any of these discussions that at any time was it ever even suggested that we're going to just kind of shoo them out the door. I mean, the reason that we went forward with improvements to the Chamber building was this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. This is a long process. This is something that y'all have got to go through and find the right place for these children in these programs. And it may be ultimately that you find that Forest Capitol Hall is the place for them. And that is, personally, I don't see why we can't coexist there. I think that that's an option to look at. I think there is a ton of wasted space up there that could be utilized. But again, that's what the workshops are for, and that's for everyone to, you know, we're exploring. We're looking at options, and I don't think that the children are being pushed aside. I mean, they are certainly at the forefront of the discussions. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else would like to come and speak? Yes.
I'm Andy Jackson, 1311 South Jackson Street. Folks, I've had an opportunity to use our extension services quite a bit here in the last 10 years or so for various business projects, various research efforts, various development efforts. We wouldn't be starting citrus business if it wasn't for extension and the extension services that we have available throughout the state. Fortunately, I've had the opportunity to visit extension all around the state in different places, Live Oak, Marianna. Boy, you talk about a nice complex in Marianna.
Yeah.
Nice one in Live Oak. Great research facility in Quincy. I've also seen some real holes in other places, too, that we won't describe.
Mm-hmm.
All of these places I've seen have devolved and developed based upon the local needs of your community. Extension in Live Oak serves a different purpose than extension in Taylor County. Extension in Taylor County is primarily centered around your clubs, and it's also centered around the people of the community more so than I see some of the farm efforts in Marianna and in Live Oak. So when folks come up here and talk about your community needs, you need to really listen that they are concerned about the kids. It takes time to develop these programs. So I look at that and I realize that we have a treasure in our community and that we need to protect. And that's why you have such an audience here, is because they want to protect that treasure. They see how long it's taken to develop it. They don't want to lose it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I recognize the benefits of marketing. In marketing our community and marketing what we have here, I have yet to figure out who we're trying to market by building a visitor center or a combining chamber and TCDA. What people are we trying to draw? Are we trying to draw more festival goers? Are we trying to draw more fishermen? Are we trying to draw more hunters? Are we trying to draw more businesses? Because I don't see any of that happening by somebody going to Forest Capitol Hall and seeing a nice auditorium. It's a nice venue for the community, but I don't see that attracting visitors. So I think your marketing purpose needs to be really focused on whatever plan it is that you come up with. In the meantime, I encourage you to protect the interests of our community and of our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
I commend Mr. Jackson for focusing the conversation. I very much appreciate that. I'm a bit confused after having heard your outline, and I don't know how exactly. I do know, I guess, listening to your speech, I do see that co-location was suggested and that folks on the committee thought this was a good idea. However, co-location is, in my opinion, not workable because of the very nature of having kids in clubs, and we talked at the previous commission meeting about using some of the facilities that are there and yet being moved over to the side. And so co-location doesn't seem like a great idea. In your outline, I didn't understand when you said the ideas that weren't accepted. You said finding a new facility, a new building, or finding an existing building for who? For the co-location of the chamber and the TCDA?
No, for what? The extension.
Oh, I see. Well, they hadn't asked for more space or documented the need for space, but you all were considering that anyway. So that's puzzling to me. At the commission meeting, we mentioned an ag center. Several people said an ag center. And I truly would love to see a brand new extension office that included a big, maybe an indoor shooting range for shooting sports, a firing range, maybe a big marine section for Victor's touch tank, for all that. But I don't think that's what we're talking about here. It sounds like no one came and said, tell us what you need, extension, and we'd like to build it. That didn't come up. What came up was, we're doing this renovation and we'd like to eventually move in and have other offices here. So there's a great disquiet, I think, to the whole thing that, you know, I don't know about elephants in the room, but somehow those of us that are volunteers and that work there a lot, both in the ag part, the sewing, the cooking, all of that, we never were involved. The constituents Andy mentioned, we were never involved in anybody saying, what do you need? And maybe your representative on the board, I am going to do a freedom of information and try to get your minutes and all your records, because I hear the outline, but I want to know exactly who was representing the volunteers, who was representing the local people in all the different districts, and who was the one to come back to us and say, we're talking about you, we want to know what you need and your kids so that you can grow. And I haven't heard that yet. And if the meeting was in the sunshine, we haven't seen it in the paper that said, come and talk to us.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
This is going to be kind of an odd...
If you'll state your name and address, sir.
My name is James Lamar A. Mann, Jr. I live at 4522 U.S. Highway 221 North, Perry, Florida, 32347. I would... you had mentioned obtaining grants for this project as part of the funding. And to obtain grants, you have to have a grant writer to request these grants. And I would be very interested to know and would like to possibly obtain a copy of the grant request to see what the premise of the grant is, the overall premise of the grant, the language used to request the grant, and then from whomever the grant, if the grant is given, what, you know, their rules are for the usage of the grant. That's all.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
My name is Molly Holston. I reside at 2846 M.L. Fleming Road here in Perryville. I am a 4-H mom. I'm a 4-H volunteer. And I just have a couple questions come off some of the stuff that you stated earlier. First of all, talking about kids coming in and getting displaced, like if you had kids in one room and you said maybe you have a group come in or something and get in this place, I can't ever see it happening. These guys at 4-H do a great job of running things up there. If somebody had come in and used one room and the kids were using it, no problem. We can move to different rooms. Something happened. Nobody's going to get displaced up there. I don't know where that idea came from. I'm thinking whoever got that in their head has never been to 4-H and never seen how it's run and does not know how the people that are up there run it and how the parents participate and how the different programs are organized. I also have questions also. It's like, when was all this discussed and with who? Who are these people that are making decisions for our 4-H? And where is it coming from? When nobody got told this, it's like one day I go to 4-H and I'm like, hey, we're having a meeting discussing, you know, that we could possibly lose this building. And it's like, why? And they don't have an answer for me. We've heard four or five different reasons. We've heard, well, we're going to make it into a welcome center. Well, the, you know, different offices in town want it. Different offices in town want a different office. Good Lord, there's, I don't know how many buildings up and down 19 that are vacant right now. How many buildings downtown are vacant right now? Pick a building. Leave the 4-H alone. You know what? It's not going to coexist. We're not going to coexist. You've got kids running around and animals running around. How are you as an office person going to get a job done when you've got kids, you know, having a good time, doing speeches, walking pigs, bringing horses? I mean, I can't see this as a 9-to-5 job coming up there, you know, in a suit, trying to get bills done for the commissioners and kids out there having a good time being in the same place and smelling animals. I'm not sure if that's what people want to work in or not. If you do, come try to get our building. If you don't, stay back out of it. Nobody asks what we wanted. Nobody has a solution. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't want our kids to be displaced. I don't want us to be something where, oh, we're getting all these grants and we're getting all this. I've heard that out, you know, tons of times. The grants don't come through. The money doesn't come through. This building's working for us. I say leave it that way. Leave the building as it is. You know, yeah, it could use improvements. Sure, it could use some improvements. Maybe help us make some improvements at the building. But as far as the building goes, we've got plenty of rooms to have conferences, have different clubs run at different times. We've got 4-H kids. We've got homeschool kids that come up there at the end of the day. This isn't just a club thing at night. We've got kids who come all during the summer for different clubs. We've got camps that are run out there all during the summer. This isn't, you need a building like this to accommodate all these people for a year-long thing. I just don't know where you come from, what your intentions are trying to get the building. But I like where it be left where it is. And if you'd like to make some improvements, that'd be great. But I can't see a coexisting running. Just kind of get my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Anyone else want to speak?
Okay. I want to speak.
Sure, go ahead.
I've been listening carefully. And my thought was, Madam Chair, maybe we should ask Extension and Extension volunteer group parents to come and give us a recommendation about what to do. I think I've heard your recommendation here tonight. Leave us alone. That's all I got to say.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, you know, my position, I'm in a position to represent the people. And it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the people think.
Amen.
And so if the citizens don't want something, then no, it doesn't matter what I think, then I'm going to go with the majority of the citizens. So that's just the way I've always been since I've been here, and I try to stay that way, and I've listened to you. And as far as I'm concerned, and I'm just one commissioner speaking, but as far as I'm concerned, leave it like it is. If you don't think it's broken, let's don't worry about it.
Yes.
Anybody else want to say anything? Yes, if you'll come forward.
My name is Jennifer Arnold. I reside at 1230 Carlson Cemetery Road, Perry, Florida, 33348. I'm a good blend of everything that is in this room. I am a citizen. I am the current chairwoman of the Chamber of Commerce. And I am a 4-H'er's mom. And I'd like to, I'm probably more speaking on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce because I am newly elected in my position. I have served with them about 10 months before I took the seat recently in January from Mr. Mixon. I would like to let the board and the community know that no time in the last now 12 months of attending the meetings and being involved with the chamber has there ever been a discussion regarding 4-H or any intent on the behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. So I like some of them, are not privy to all the details and the facts, the minutes, the things that were discussed, who attended meetings, who spoke on whose behalf. I like where this is going tonight. It feels good as somebody who's really a blend of everything that's in the room. I just want to speak up on the out from the chamber so that the community, there's not a bad feeling there. I now represent and I lead it. I will tell you that I am not informed and I am not up to date on the facts of what we're discussing tonight. I will do a very good job of doing that so that if this continues forward, I would be a better representative than I am actually standing here tonight. I just would like to speak up on the chamber that in my time there, never once has anything been mentioned in my presence against 4-H, regarding 4-H, moving 4-H, 4-H a problem or anything. So it absolutely came as a shock to me that the community was already having this feeling. So I just wanted to speak on behalf of, as a board member, a citizen, and a 4-H mom, you know, tonight. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate the comments from each one of you that came forward tonight. And I don't think that there's anybody that doesn't support 4-H and support the extension program. They do a lot of things. I know there's a lot of programs, the Master Gardeners, and a lot of things. And as I said earlier, I'm sure that this board 100% wholeheartedly supports 4-H. My children have been through it, and I've been through some programs out there, the Master Gardeners, and my grandchildren will continue to participate in the programs. It's wonderful programs, and I'm very supportive of that, and I'm glad that you guys came forward to express your opinions. That's what we're here, is to listen and to take directions from the public, and we didn't have anybody here tonight to come and say anything contrary to what all of y'all came forward to say, and we all took it at heart. And again, I appreciate y'all being here. This is what it's about, and I appreciate everybody behaving in a civil manner tonight so we could have good discussions and, you know, and make good decisions. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
I love you too.
That's like a 5-minute
break.
Well, I'll call him at the door. I hope we done good.
Well, talk with him. He gave you the information,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And however I can help.
Don't you worry.
I'll try.
You can help.
I'll try.
And you can too, you Russ.
Hey, buddy. How about you, buddy?
Good.
Good seeing you too.
You told me that.
I don't regret it. You are what you are.
All right. Good seeing you, buddy.
Good to take care. All right. Now, your wife's still working in Madison. She retired.
No, she's retired, and we just take it easy.
Okay.
You want to see it for me?
I'll do it. I'll do that. Yeah, she, hey, her mom is 101, and she's
wherever you put her, that's what she'll say.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, so good to see you. Thank you, buddy.
But anyway, I go there with our headphones Thursday, Friday night, Saturday, and then we come back to church on Sunday. Believe it or not, we pay in the church on Sunday. I'll be next week.
So you're coming to our church?
Well, we're paying it off. We're paying our church off.
You know, we do that with just one church.
Oh, I wish I could. What's the next one?
We've got Hempel one Spring? More. We've got two more of them. Hempel Springs is next. The meeting will come to order again. The next thing on the agenda is number five, the board to discuss Hempel Springs Park issues. Go punch, Malcolm. Yeah, and then we're going to do the last one to discuss the work order system. The work order system will be last. We just switched the sequence of things around.
Excuse me for dragging that.
Okay, the meeting has been called to order, and we'll go to number five, the board to discuss Hempel Springs Park issues. I think that concerning this issue, before we talk about what we're going to do in terms of anything with anything out there that's been destroyed or whatever, I think we've got to come to terms with how are we going to secure the place how, what are we going to do? Are we going to, are we going to get somebody to be out there in a camper, or are we going to hire somebody, or what steps are we going to take to secure it? I think we have to do that before we can even talk about fixing the other things. So I'm, you know, this is on the agenda for discussion. So, LaWanda, did y'all have anything that you could?
Yes, ma'am. We wanted to distribute the report from the liability carrier regarding some an assessment at the park. There were several issues identified. This was done in 2016. Was done by Florida Municipal Insurance Trust, or liability carrier, and I believe it was performed on by request of our former county administrator, because there were some concerns about liability issues with the pool, maybe some of the issues with the bridge, and so on and so forth. So this assessment identified 13 issues. Now, it's my understanding that possibly what happened as a result of this study is that staff developed plans to address these liability issues. And based upon the recommendation from the insurance carrier, the decision was made to fill the pool somehow for safety reasons. So I believe what Mr. Lakey wanted to do was to present this report to y'all and have it be part of the discussion as far as not only the pool, but there is a boat ramp that is no longer in use, from what I understand. There is a rope swing that I believe is still there. It is, from what I understand, an issue with people jumping from the bridge to the creek, which would cause a liability. And the recommendation at that time was to either put a 24-hour park attendant or to close the park to the public. The recommendation was that the pool be filled with sand, the spring rerouted to the creek, and the trees trimmed so the rope swing cannot be used.
Okay, did Mr. Lakey want to speak about this, or did he leave? Or
he's in his office with the county attorney. So, Melody, we can either go forward with, Melody did prepare a presentation taking us through the history of how the county has spent grant funding to restore the park.
Next, well, wait,
yeah.
Mr. Lakey.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, Mr. Lakey, it's true. And it's time for the board to talk. I'll talk first.
Okay.
If you don't.
That'd be fun.
Yes, or else I'll be quiet.
We'll let you talk first.
Melody, did you want to walk us through this?
Won't you come up and, yeah.
So, Wanda, have y'all looked at what, with all the money, I've got the figures here, but it's close to $1 million for grants. What the grant can. What stipulation would the grant have on closing the park after they put that kind of money in? Is there some?
On the Bureau of Historic Preservation, I have three messages. Okay. Well, 9 messages with 3 people. As far as the Transportation Enhancement Funds, which was the bulk of it, the county agreed to maintain the park site for perpetuity as long as they attended. In 2001 is when the site was designated as a state historic site with the Florida Master Site File. In 2001, we received the first grant of $350,000 from the Transportation Enhancement Fund. At that time, it was known as Spring Creek Greenway, and it was originally spearheaded by Water Management District for the expansion of their trail systems as far as the rails and trails. And it was originally spearheaded by Edwin Cook and Mark Luttman. And then when I came on board, it was one of the first assignments I was given. In fact, the board wanted to do it as a tribute to Miss Foskey. So that was one of my first projects. The first $350,000 was for the design and engineering, the site preparation, and to begin the initial work on the site to get the site prepped and ready to go. At that time, in December 2001, we were awarded a grant in the amount of $15,800 from the Bureau of Historic Preservation, and that was for the actual development of the park site and the archaeological surveys needed. In November 2002, we were awarded the bid to Hammond Design Group to design the site. And originally it included enclosing the pool the way it originally was when it was the old bathhouse, but that wasn't possible due to funds at that time. In December 2002, we were awarded another Bureau of Historic Preservation grant in the amount of $23,690, and that was for the stabilization of the pool. The brick wall around the pool was used to be the enclosure, part of the enclosure, and to repair the part of the concrete in the fountain. I'm sure many of you remember that fountain was totally filled in and covered with dirt, and then the original fountain was gone, which now the city has been able to obtain again. But it was for the repairs, those original repairs. And as you will see in what I gave you, that fountain is totally covered up, and we excavated that. During that period of time, from 2002 to 2006, the school kids came annually with Ms. Strickland, and they actually helped with some of the excavation from year to year, and it was always really a very fun time for everybody. In 2003, there was some damage. That's the year we had the floods to some of the repair work we did. We were able to fix it back, but the main part was to the spring pool, and that boat ramp area was full of debris and actually full to the top. In December 2003, we were awarded another Bureau of Historic Preservation grant in the amount of $10,000, and that was to do that repair work after the flooding. In June 2004, we received a grant in the amount of $250,000 for the Transportation Enhancement Funds, and that's what was used to construct the bridge and to start a portion of the sidewalks. The bridge was made, it took a long period of time because it was specially made to kind of duplicate that it was aged. Same with the sidewalks, a lot of care was put into the sidewalks to dye them to the color, to age them back to how they would have originally been. So a lot went into that. The transportation enhancement grants were administered for us by Swanee River Water Management District. They did that at that time. We're now, if the county's not able to administer those grants, SDOT does, but at the time, Water Management did that for us. In December 2004, footbaths dated back to the 1800s that are to the right of the pool were uncovered. We left them exposed for just a short period of time because they were very fragile. The newspaper did a couple articles on it, and we ended up covering them back up because we were afraid of vandalism and because we were afraid that they would be damaged. So they were filled back in. It was included in the state master site file that was marked on the surveys, but we would know where they were, that if in fact we did want to uncover them again, they would be fairly easy to do.
Can I stop you right there? Mm-hmm. What is a foot bath?
They were actually, it was a set of six baths, and they were big enough to hold like two people per bath. And you could actually go inside them. He termed them as foot baths, but they were like their own two people little sauna areas. And there was a set of six. They were really, really neat, but they started getting vandalized right off. They became attraction for couples. Politely.
Okay.
we received a second transportation enhancement grant that year in the amount of $350,000, and that finished the construction of the sidewalks, the restrooms, the parking facilities were returned to what it was originally for the site. We had to cut out the old Bill site from where there had been a roll-off site at one time. But I'm sure you recall, the main entrance was shut off after a period of time and you were coming in through a gate to the west. Mm-hmm. We opened it back up and cleared all that out to try to make it safer, and not only to restore it to how it originally was, but to try to make it safer. The benches and picnic tables were installed at that time, as well as the equestrian facilities were put in across the road. And it was during that same period of time that we acquired the additional acreage from the Development Authority to expand that site, because we knew the original golf course was across the road. In December 2004, we received a grant from the Bureau of Historic Preservation for $25,296, and that was to work on the other side of the creek, because that's where the original theater, dance pavilion, and horse stables were, and we own a little over 1 acre on that side. That's part of the park site. At that same period of time, we had submitted a grant to the Office of Greenways and Trails to try to acquire an additional 14 acres on that side. We were awarded that funding in the amount of $70,000. An offer was made to Leon King, who owned that parcel of land. They worked with her for over a year, and we were not able to acquire that land. After we acquired the 49 acres from the Development Authority, and that had belonged to Taylor County Board of Commissioners at one time, we had deeded that to them because at one time they had a development site they thought was going to locate there. After that, we obtained another Bureau of Historic Preservation grant to uncover the 9-hole golf course, the greenways and the fairways, and that was made into a trail system, which the county failed to maintain after about 2 years. It was a really neat little trail system because it followed along the greenways, and it was amazing how after all these years it was still very clear and easy to designate. Last year at this time, we actually went out there with the archaeologist, Kenneth Dudley, Jamie Boothby, Ross Morrill, the archaeologist, and Mr. Agnew, who wanted to put in a disc golf course out there, and we were still able, even though it had grown up and wooded, we were still able to trace the old golf course. And it was one of the first golf courses in Florida and the first golf course in North Florida. In 2006, that's when we got our last Bureau of Historic Preservation grant for the site in the amount of $15,888. And that was to finish out that site, the golf course area, and to do the archaeological surveys. During that same period of time, after working with Office of Greenways and Trails, we were able to get that, get Taylor County and that area moved to the priority state trail maps. And since that time, we've had a lot of interest in that. As part of the Florida National Scenic Trail System, that site would be a major trailhead. And then, as you know, in 2014, we were able to acquire that 247 acres from Water Management District. And, you know, Jack had worked with them for an extended period of time to make that happen. And that finally became a reality. And that's our Houston Springs.
Is that a true picture? Was it yellow like that with a red roof? That's
yes.
Exactly how it looked? For some reason, I thought it was white.
Well, I guess in later days it became white, but originally it was the yellow, as we've been told, and that's included in the little history book I gave you. But I guess in the 30s it became white. And they also added, as you know, around that same period of time, it's amazing. It was very self-sufficient. As you know, the rail used to go out there, and there was a rail depot out there. We uncovered that. It had its own power, source of power. I mean, it was very self-sufficient on its operations and how it operated.
Was that a tile roof? Was
yes.
Wow.
And a lot of the debris, you know, after the fire, it was tore down and bulldozed. But a lot of the debris from it is actually behind the golf course equestrian side on Four Rivers property. And there's large amounts of debris of the tile and the concrete and portions of the concrete planters still back there. At the time we were doing the archaeological work, it was by Foley. And the archaeologist contacted them to see if we could excavate a portion of that because of the hotel debris, and they did not allow us to do that.
Did you listen?
Thank you. It was a nice presentation.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner.
I'm up next.
Yes, go ahead.
I thought about an idea most of the day, and I'm going to try to articulate it as best I can. But I may ramble a little, but I think if you will listen, give me a little time, I can get my feelings out. First of all, you know, I grew up in Cabbage Road, which is way out 25 miles from Paris. I rode to school after I got out of the 8th grade. Had to come to Perry school. Rode school bus. I remember the morning when we passed Hampton Springs and the smoke. The hotel had burned that night. I remember that quite vividly. I regret that in my growing up years, I was probably 14 then. I never went inside the hotel or visited. Knew some people who worked there. But I know a little bit about Hampton Springs Hotel. It saddens me to think about it. You know, it's a good fire. Now, I've learned one thing here tonight. We need to get input from the citizens before we do anything, i.e. extension. And I'm going to apply that to my thoughts here as far as Hampton Springs is concerned. We need some input from the stakeholders, people that are interested in keeping it open. And my thought is perhaps we could, at a regular meeting, ask Mr. Bishop to draft a resolution. We could form a Hampton Springs Advisory Committee. And if Ms. Cox would volunteer to kind of head that up, chair the first meeting. You'd be honored to. Thank you. I don't want to put more on you. You do too much.
No, no, no.
All right. Now, look, we could do an advertisement in the paper. If you're interested in serving on this board, I don't know. I thought about 5 to 10. You know, more the merrier. And, Mr. Bishop, if we can make this be Government of Sunshine, and then especially at the first meeting, whoever we should like to be on this committee, invite everybody that wants to give any input. Now, we want to hear from the citizens about what you want us to do. We filled up a pool, and we voted to unfill it and to put a fence around it. Folks, with our vision, that's all the taxpayer money that I think I could vote for. We got liability issues out there that need to take care of. I would suggest that perhaps maybe we could wait until after the committee gives the recommendation. We may want to close the park temporarily while we get these issues done. But part of what we need to do is we need for you all to give us a plan of how we can make it secure. One citizen, one of my constituents, told me one of the obvious things you can do, put up a couple of security cameras. You know, right near the gate when you go in. And you can see who's coming and going. So, you all give me your reaction, fellow board members.
Well,
if y'all got a better idea, I'm willing to listen.
As far as I'm concerned, that's fine. We need to get the group to advise us on would be fine.
Right.
And that would be great. But the insurance company, we were trying to follow their guide. I mean, we weren't doing something out of the... We just didn't come up with this idea to fill food. And the insurance company told us, yeah. The liability insurance company told us to fill food. And we were going to fill it in, not completely. We were going to try to make a wading pool out of it and let the spring flood out onto it. That's water under the bridge. Or through the pool. We're going to end up...
We're going to put her back like she was.
Well, yeah. Whatever the advisory committee comes up with, and then we'll have to deal with the liability then. But handrails and, handrails going down to the depth and handrails down it and all that kind of thing. There was one time to go back and make it a little safer. And then we just have to cross that bridge where the insurance company said we'll accept it. I'm all about doing what the people want us to do. And that's just where I'm at with it.
Can I add one more thing to my comments?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned a temporary closure. You know, every day we don't do something out there, that's just one more day that we're liable if somebody gets hurt or injured or drowned, not to jump out in the creek off the bridge or something. And the smart thing to do would be to close it temporarily to give the committee time to get formed and come back and give us a recommendation about what kind of money it's going to take and what the plan is to make it secure. On the other hand, that's a risk. We as a board, want to listen to what the people want. I can just see Facebook. Commission closes Hampton Springs. Could be the headline as a million paper, but I don't think you can do that to it. But, I just shared my thoughts with you now. I am not for spending any more tax money on anything other than these liability issues, perhaps, until we get a plan of how we're going to secure the park.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to the people out there.
It's Commissioner Dent.
And Commissioner Dent.
Is that when I then looked at it the other day? I thought it was a great place. And when I looked at the amount of money we spent on this, evidently if you put $1 million in it, somebody needs to see about it. Now I think that's part where the commission and the head dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't invest and then don't see about it after and leave it out there for somebody else to do. I'm for going out there and doing what we need to do. It's a historical park, and when I read all this, it was something in its day. Now, I've never been to Hampton Spring until last year, as far as the park goes. I believe that other counties and cities got parks and things not near the history we got here.
Exactly.
And he still goes out there. I've been to Florida carving up there. We talk about liability. You go down in the cave and the clay is here and the water's falling there. We're going to have some risk somewhere. Have any of you been to Florida carving out there? Out of Marana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right.
Now, that look as deadly as anything you've ever seen, honey. So, 8-foot hole is deadly too, but hey. Yeah. Well, we're going to have these issues, and we're going to have them if we continue. They're around our house, they're our city, they're at the county, but we need to get a better handle on doing what we need to do. Well, if we bill it, let's see about it. Let's don't overbill something we can't see about. When I looked at that and I started thinking about it, I said, yeah, got all these grants. $1 million is a lot of money. Some people can take it and live a lifetime, Others can take it and might not live for 2 weeks. But I think we need to do that. Go ahead.
You like, I appreciate that, Mr. Moody, that we were acting to solve the liability issue.
Before you go,
appreciate that.
Before you go, I went back and pulled my notes here. Back there in December 2017 and October the 10th and the 5th, it was on our agenda, on our workshop. Fill in rocks at the Hampton Spring. Now, we slipped that. That's our fault.
Well, I mean, it's probably it's kind of one of those gray areas. Was it a maintenance issue? Was it a project?
Yeah.
If it was a project, it certainly should come before the board got voted on. So, you know, it did not come before the board got voted. That's neither here nor there. We're going to put the fence around it. Haynes got a price, probably about $4,500 to put an 8-foot chain link fence around it. I agree with you 100%. We don't need to put any more money into it until we got a way to secure the park long term. I think one of the issues is getting people down there. We need to secure it at night some way. My goal, and I work with any committee, you have to do that, because more people involved in this the better, is try to get the park host.
Yeah.
We talked about. Somebody, either that or work with Rockies. Get that gate locked at night, do a deal with him. I think that'd be a spot on too. And secure it at night, get more people come down there. One thing I noticed, there's not even a sign on 98.
No, it's not.
That says Hampton Springs Historical Site. Did we talk about that? Yeah. Several months ago.
Historic, Hampton Springs.
Yeah, as our tourists are going through, they don't even know
it's there.
Is there anything of historic value?
We don't need to draw a bigger crowd in there.
So we need to get a bigger crowd.
Viability things best we can.
Yes. I think, you know, I love the committee of it. I think
you like that?
Yes, I do. And I think we need to continue on with the park post, try to get that established and secure it and do what we can to bring it back. But I'm with you. I would put some more money into it.
Yeah, I concur with that, too. Certainly, if they put $1 million into it and a lot of it's been destroyed, we'll never be able, I don't think, to restore it to how it was 15 years ago or whatever. But one question that we had was to find out if it could be leased. Did we find out the answer to that? If somebody wanted to lease it and maintain it and with a stipulation that it would still be open to the public?
I asked Melody to contact. She's called three historical people, has not got a response yet.
I've left 9 messages. I gave Mr. Lakey the names of the contacts. I told him I would imagine probably today they were at the legislature because their budget was cut to nothing. We kept getting emails to contact our legislature, so that could have been a problem today. But we do have the contact names of people who will have to give us approval of that and the steps we'll take.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking outside, you know, we're just brainstorming here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just looking at possibilities. But if it could be leased, and someone could fix it up, but it'd have to have a stipulation that it would be open to the public.
Right.
And I would not want them to charge for people to go in there, because that would cause an uproar too. But it's going to be a monumental task to figure out what we're going to do here.
My best guess, I don't know anybody would lease it just for a park. Somebody's going to lease it for one of either put RV sites down there.
And if they did that, right. And I've talked to the same person that Commissioner Moody has. And, if they did that, and if they provided an attendant to provide security for their people, people in their park, plus let the public come in, that would be okay, because they would, they're not going to do it and not get some return on their investment. So, you know, that's just going to be a given. But as of right now, well, let me say this first. As I said the other night, it's a historical site for us. A lot of memories, a lot of things that, you know, people have done there and their childhood. And so I want to keep that open to the public. It breaks my heart to see how it is now and what it's being used for. And even it makes me really angry that a lot of money was spent to make it nice, and some people did not respect that, and they just went in to vandalize and to see how trashy they could make it. That's really a shame to me. But the having a committee, I think, is a good idea. If the committee were to come back and say, well, we want this done and this done and this done, and it came to $400,000 or $500,000, you know, I guess that's the risk.
I know there's money for it. Yeah. I sent y'all that brochure.
Right, I appreciate that.
My people, Mary and the Hank family, and Billy, I really want to see it for her. And it's something you can see. Well, they get the state, they get like the museum down here. You know, I know Eric Draper is in charge of all those parks, Don Springs, state, over all the state parks. I don't know if that's something we want to do, but they take good care of it. And they make sure a good dog goes in there. But
and I'd be open to that option. I mean, I'm open right now to put all the options on the table, and let's see what we come up with so we can make a good decision.
I haven't talked to Eric, but he and I have been long-time friends. He's over all the state parks.
Let's put the committee hear all his options. And the option about someone wanting to lease it, if that's legal. And, you know, consider everything.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if historical preservation folks would take kindly to us leasing it for an RV park. That might be incompatible.
Well, we ran across the road here from an RV park.
We're kind of thinking the land where the golf course was might be a possibility for an RV park. Wouldn't actually be on the historical site, but it would be.
Let me ask you, listen, is that 240-some acres down there?
Yeah, this little down the road, that's where we're
at. It's not, it doesn't cold you on?
Okay. Across the bridge. But you got almost, 50 acres across the road?
How more resources than it used to be?
50 acres.
Now, where the parking lot across the road there, how many acres is that?
About
49.7 acres square. On the equestrian side.
I mean,
49.
Looked like somebody had some good thoughts, but the follow up has been, that record is pretty bad, right now.
And, you know, when the equestrian people were here tonight, I thought, you know, people really need to use that site. It's beautiful riding. The Wanda's rode out there too, but we used to ride out there all the time. And
The horse trail?
247 acres that we acquired hasn't been developed into trails, but it's easy to ride, and it's really beautiful. It goes back to the Finn Holloway, but it's, when they were talking about riding it, it's really good riding.
Yeah.
Is that river, is it navigable with a boat? Can you get in with a small boat and go from one end to the other?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Can I throw my
can
I fish out there now?
It's good. Yeah, you
fish out there. I fished all the way down from Rocky Creek, all the way down to the Finn Holloway, back up for many times.
Ben and I have gone fishing there. Mainly from 98 up.
Right.
Okay.
Pretty fishing. We got back when I was young, getting a little boat.
You know, the city of Perry dumped the gray water in it for years there.
And it came in a Spring Creek.
And it went to Spring Creek and went right on down and run into Rocky Creek. And then it come on down to the Finn Holloway. But they don't do that anymore. They don't dump the gray water in the Spring Creek.
They have to use a spray field again now because he can't take all the water when they need it. You're trying to get a grant for a tank. I was told they were putting some in Spring Creek with the ball down system and all that.
So I got a question then. So are we saying that we want to close it then temporarily until a committee comes back with some recommendations? Is that where we're going?
I'd ask the sheriff to enter the trial with the office of the DA pleasure.
I think we'd get a little bad PR if we did.
I don't know that I'd recommend.
That's the safest thing to do.
It's what?
It would probably be a prudent thing to do, but I don't know that.
It would be prudent, but I don't think it would be appreciated by people.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask the question because we discussed it earlier. Okay, my next question then is at Monday night's meeting, we directed staff to remove the rocks and to put a fence around it. Now, I want to ask the board, not knowing at this point in time exactly what we're going to do there, and if we're going to put a fence around it, do we still want the rocks removed? I'm just asking the question.
How long is it going to take before we get fence around it?
No, he told me today he got a price on it. I don't imagine it would take much longer after they remove the rocks.
That's an expensive fence or a little hole, man.
That sounds like an expensive fence. $4,500 for a 20 or 40.
8-foot chain link every hour.
Right.
Maybe more area, fits off than we're aware of.
Oh, well, you wanted some down there on the bank, too. That might include that.
Well, the hole up out of the creek.
Yeah.
That's a fall into again, 8-foot fall right there.
I told him to look at that, so that might be a price from somebody to check it.
I'm with them leaving it open. We got to upbuild the insurance. Somebody gets hurt, whatever.
I can deal with that. Leave it up.
And go ahead and take the rocks out?
Go ahead.
I mean, we got crucified by the rocks, y'all.
Yeah.
They need to come out of it.
Yeah, we did.
I wanted them out, but I just wanted to make sure that's where the board's
if we don't do anything else, we want to
take the rocks out.
Get the rocks out.
Take them out.
Then we won't close it, and the committee will have time to do its work.
Is that a contract price for the rocks and the county crew to do it?
County crew did. Yeah,
it wasn't contract. Okay, so we're going to leave it open. We're going to take the rocks out. We're going to put a fence around it. We're going to try to get a committee of citizens to try to give us some recommendations. Now,
you have put the committee on the agenda. You've already done the rocks and the fence. This is a workshop.
I know we can't vote, but I'm just saying what we think we're going to do at the next meeting.
Say it that way.
Does that sound good? Okay, yeah. Now. Lord, I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Hold on just a minute. I know what it is. When we do decide at the next meeting to form this committee, let's put a time and a date when we want the recommendations back. First, we have to form the committee, and I know that's going to take a little bit of time. But I want a reasonable date for that committee to come back with some recommendations. I don't want to be here 6 months from now, and we're still, as if we can't get enough of people on the committee, we need to know that, and then we go to another plan B, or C, or D, or whatever it is.
I believe you get enough.
What I've read on Facebook, if they'll put into action their mouth, or their writing, we can get a room full of committee people.
As a little side note, it really wasn't expensive to fill the hole. The road department told me $150 to buy those rocks and all the time.
And the rest of that was on riprap concrete.
They had enough material.
And our workforce, they were going to be working somewhere anyhow.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I want to say one thing. I'll tell you what I've learned in the last week.
Okay.
That when we discuss things here, like we have since I've been here, that we need to do, or we're going to do, I'm going to say, let's go ahead and do it and give staff direction to do it instead of coming back in 6 months or next year and doing it again. Because like we talked today, we talk about we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, we never gave y'all really directions to go do it. We might have assumed that since we brought it up and talked about it, that somebody was going to take it and run with it. And so there was not any clear directives. So I think I'm not going to be guilty of that again.
And tonight we're going to go over projects in just a little bit.
That's right.
And get on the same page about
it. Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just want to remind everybody, Mr. Bishop, correct me if I'm
state this incorrectly. This committee can look at any option. Trying to get it turned into a state park, if y'all look it up. Trying to talk with somebody to lease it. But if we're going to lease it to somebody, we have to do an RFP. Rather than just take and give the lease to one person.
True.
You probably, if you did RFP, you would get one. But I just keep that in mind.
Yep.
That's all I want to say about that.
Okay, one other thing, and then I'll let you talk. Ollie, would you be on this committee, please? Would you be willing to do that?
I'll be glad. I have real interest in it.
I'd like for you to be on the committee because I like that idea of maybe turning it into a state park. They got a lot more money than we do.
That's right.
Well, if Forest Capital Museum would qualify, this would qualify.
Yeah, so you'll be on the committee? Will you be Melody's assistant?
Now,
he will. He said he would.
I'm going to ask Angela and JT to submit your application.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I would suggest if you vote on it next board meeting that the committee hurry and form and we streamline it and have a proposal to you by the second meeting in June. That way, if there are some expenditures to the board, it could fall in line with your budget sessions.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Bishop, does this committee have to work under the sunshine?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's what we need to do then. When this committee is formed, we need to have a workshop with this committee, and we probably should do it with every advisory committee that we have, and go over the sunshine laws so that and require people to be there so that they know what it means. Because a lot of people out there, they don't know the sunshine laws, and I think that's going to keep us safe in terms of that. What do y'all think, Board?
I think it's a great idea, but we don't need to scare them with that sunshine law. We don't need to have
it. I've talked
to
your council, but we can't do anything other than make a recommendation to the board. Does that still come under sunshine law?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, you all remember the Cabbage Grove Cemetery Committee?
No.
That resolution we passed is sunshine law. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was talking to one of those people, and they said, you formed a committee, we've gone to work, we've accomplished our task. You know, we did it. So, now, when you write the resolution, Mr. Bishop, if we authorize you to do that next Monday night or whatever, would you coordinate with Ms. Cox and make sure we got everything in there that we need?
Not
our committee would function.
Yeah, I'll do
that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Smile.
All right. Smile.
Well, one reason I brought that up about, you know, having a little session on sunshine law is because I happened to run across somebody the other day when I was out. And this gentleman told me he had served on a committee of ours for a good long time. And he said, you know, we got no sunshine training. None of us knew anything about sunshine. And things happen because you don't know that it's illegal. And he said, have y'all ever thought about that? And I never thought about it again until just now. But don't you think that's a good idea, Mr. Bishop?
Sure, absolutely. Chair, Malcolm has filled them up. Angela's going to be our next president. Historical Society would take it. I sort of pour a cup of water on that. The Historical Society set up a committee to make a recommendation. We're not subject to the sunshine law, I don't think. We try to operate under it, but.
Mr. Bishop, can you answer that?
Well, if you get public funds from, like, the county,
we get $10,000 a year for
building. Yeah, you're under the sunshine, in my view. You know, you keep saying that people are afraid of the sunshine law. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of.
I've lived in 14 years.
It's not all that complicated. Number one, you advertise your meetings, okay? Number two, you don't discuss the business until you're in the meeting. You make your decisions in the meeting. And you take
Take minutes.
Take minutes. And And the minutes are subject to 119. That's the Sunshine Law.
Mm-hmm. And it is simple. And once they hear that, they won't be afraid of it because it is simple.
Yes.
But when you're out there and you've never been explained that, then they are, you know, a little apprehensive about it.
Y'all were supposed to go to those
ethics
clinics, you know, once a year or whatever like that. And what do they tell you? What I've always told y'all. Right?
Yes.
Same
thing.
You know, it's rather boring.
I'm going to say you're erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, in the abundance of caution, all right.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. Well, he's keeping us out of jail.
I know, I do.
Okay.
We got a plan.
Yes, we got a plan. So let's go on and finish up this meeting. The last item will be.
Ed,
got it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just before we wrap up on this, a couple of things. One, just on behalf of the Historical Society, that's why I'm here tonight, we would like to say thank you for the really speedy response to when this happened. I believe that the term I used was unwrapped when I found out about it, because it was, you know, I think we were all very surprised, and your response just made us feel a lot better.
Thank you.
And we look forward to just, you know, moving ahead, doing the best thing we can to preserve that out there, because truthfully, we see ourselves not so much as volunteers, but as just stewards. You know, we're stewards of our history, our jobs to protect it, so that it can hang around and outlive us, which is, of course, probably the best thing we could do. We had already planned to have a walking tour meeting out at Hampton Springs, but if that's a concern, liability issues and stuff, we're going to have our March meeting there, actually. We may talk about just switching that to having it at our regular Historical Society and focus on Hampton Springs, and we could float this idea to the committee, you know, see who's interested in coming, and just go ahead and try to maybe do some, not necessarily recruitments, because you haven't done it yet, but just word of mouth to see who is interested in following through with being an active participant.
Mm-hmm. And I would think until this committee is actually approved through this board, you can talk about anything you want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's something in we don't mean.
He didn't say anything, so
yeah.
That was just a hint. But thank you. We really appreciate what the Historical Society does and what the media does, and thank you for your awareness and what you do, both of you. Appreciate it.
And I just want to throw this out there as maybe a research thing. A gentleman actually called me from the Gainesville Times, and they're doing stories about the springs, and there's, I think, three left historical springs fed pools, and they still have them open to the public and swimmable, and one of them is on the Suwannee River. I can't remember the name of it, but it's something to research to see how they do it with their insurance, or who owns it. Maybe it is the state park that owns it. I don't know. It's just some information to throw out there to y'all, and we do really appreciate it. And there's been a lot of happy response about it. So
there's something down the bill. Bill is between Trenton and.
There's a lot of springs on the Suwannee that the district.
Mm-hmm. And White Springs is one of had one too.
Yes.
I was contacted by Point River, one of their representatives, and they were willing to help us any kind of way. They recommended, you know, just give us a call, and any way we help, we would be glad to.
And we would also offer up, we know a lot of people at different places to help us for historical issues and preservation stuff, and we do appreciate it. And just be careful when you pull them rocks out.
Okay, we'll move along.
I imagine we'll have a contingent of folks out there watching the rocks.
I think we'd always be willing to form a human chain. Right.
Y'all lay down in front of the dump truck if they start tearing up food.
That's right. Okay, number six, the board to discuss the county work order system and the master project list. Mr. Lakey.
Yeah, the road department tells me when they get to certain point, they're going to have hand shovel rocks at the bottom, so if y'all want to.
I'll come out
there. All right. We want to go out of our...
We appreciate it.
All right. We discussed with some of y'all the projects today.
Thank you.
I want to mention first our work order system that we have in place. I'm sure y'all are familiar with that. We're going to move forward to try to get everything on our work order system from all departments.
Yes.
Of course, you won't see vehicle maintenance and vehicle repairs, that kind of thing. It's too onerous to do that. But we're going to try to get any department to utilize that work order system. And these work orders come from a lot of different places. You certainly submit them to email, or you tell us about them. Citizens tell us about them. I take in work orders at the front counter. People come tell me about stuff. So we're trying to capture everything in the work order system. What you have in front of you, though, is our master project list. What I want to do is go over this at every one of our workshops here on out, so you'll know what's on this project list. And then at your next meeting, we'll have it as a consent item for you just to formally confirm what we have. All right. The first project you see is the Steinhatchee Boat Ramp restrooms. I understand the footers have been poured on those, so they are under construction in Steinhatchee. Next is your Hampton Springs Park pool. Filled with rocks. Well, rocks are to be removed. They told me they'll be doing that Monday. We'll see if they can get on that, but they have that scheduled for Monday. Next item, Forest Capitol Hall roof repair. Understand there's a lot of screws that need to be replaced in that roof, and that's just waiting. That's not a high priority item. That's just waiting for us to get scheduled.
Is that a metal roof up there?
I think so.
Yeah, they got a better screw than they used to have.
Yeah.
From metal. I know in my house, I had to take them all out.
Yeah.
A whole new bunch of screws in.
This must be kind of the same situation.
Same situation.
Was that guarantee on your screws?
Yeah, the last set I bought.
There wasn't none on the first set?
No, they changed it. Wait, the head of that screw looks.
Yeah.
And the older screws had a little rubber grommet in there.
Yeah.
And it had cracked. New ones don't have that.
Okay.
This is one of our minor projects that we have. Animal control storage, they need some storage out there. Another minor project. That's not a very high priority item. It'll be scheduled sometime in the future. Solid waste recycling office, they need some roof repair on that building. Let's go on down. I'm going to skip the Hodges Park sand fence repair first. I'm going to do Hodges Park pier reconstruction because that needs to come first down there. The contract has been executed, and asked Mr. Dudley today to try to get a date, a starting date on that. He hasn't gotten that for me today. But in conjunction with that, when they start pulling up the material from the pier, they'll construct the fence, the sand fence. So that will go hand in hand. You see under there, you use pilings from the pier. And also hand in hand, during that time, same time frame, that's where we intend to put more sand on the beach down there. So that'll all kind of be, those three things will be going like one project down there.
This will occur before start season. I mean, obviously you're not going to build a pier before start season.
It's, oh, no.
Maybe we need to wait to start after start season before we even start.
On what, on the pier?
On the pier.
Lord, I think
know.
We need to go ahead and start it. I had a call
start
today about it.
Then, right?
Yeah,
okay.
People are wanting that. And I told them, we're fixing to start it. So I'd like to say, let's go ahead.
It's fine. I was just thinking, the folks down there are swimming around. They may be getting away from construction, but we can rope off an area so they don't come over here.
What about boat traffic now in the canal going around where they're going to be building? Is that going to be obstructed in any way?
I cannot tell you off the top of my head. I don't think it would be.
Okay, because they got to be able to get in and out in their boat. But I think they could work around that somehow or another.
I would think they could, but you can get information when you get started. The Steinhatchee River Bridge Lining Project. understand there's been a tie-up on getting the lights. They say that can be finished by the end of March once they get the material in on that. Keaton Beach Coastal Park, I understand, is 85% complete. The Steinhatchee Boat Ramp Docking Project, they're waiting on the FBIP grant. The CPI grant's been awarded. Steinhatchee Park, that is under construction now. That's that walkway down to the water, down there if you're familiar with that. Harrison Blue from the Collection Center Improvements. We haven't forgotten that one.
We're moving along, we're making progress.
We got to build a, if y'all are not familiar with that, it's building a small roll-off site attendant office, and there's going to be some site work also in that project. All right.
So trying to do that in a piecemeal fashion, because I don't want us to have to close that roll-off site for 6 months. Right. You know, we do. We've got the contractor done. Good shape there. That old building where the attendants are, it gets about 6 inches of water after a big rain, and the drawings have been moved.
Huh? The rocks you got here.
Yeah, take them rocks. Most of them rocks, them white rocks we bought, most of them over there in that creek.
The Steinhatchee Boat Ramp Mobile Home Renovation. That's the mobile home down there. We really don't have any purpose for that building yet. I know Frank had suggested when he was here that a marine agent might take up residence down there. I never thought that was a good idea. That's just me, though. But we really don't have a purpose for it right now.
What we were talking about, putting somebody letting camp at the boat ramp. Why couldn't we let somebody stay there just to help keep up that thing and dry on everything?
Good idea.
I mean, how'd that be? It's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, level. Mm-hmm. And we could do it. So I'm sure somebody would do that. I mean, I think you'd find a family that would do that.
You would think so.
We're going to have bathrooms there that need to be cleaned and toilet paper put in them. And having somebody there, like at Hottie's Park, they get toilet paper out. There's never none there, is what they tell me.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
And, if you had somebody right there, just like that, I mean, that would solve the issue with people destroying the bathroom and seeing that you,
Is that right? You do say people destroying the bathroom, the steam hatchet.
They have destroyed things at Hottie's Park, just like it did after the spring before. And they destroyed the sliding board and several different things over a period of time out there in the park that the kids play on, and we had to replace them.
That was the dust, I think, down there at night that did that.
I thought our park was closed at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Sunset's
supposed to
close. We have the county ordinance that closes at a certain time.
So it should be sun up to sundown is what it should say, instead of the time. It should be sun up to sundown. But, and I don't want to bring up another subject, but at some point in time, I want to talk about it, because you mentioned having a person there that can oversee it. And, you know, at one time we were paying somebody to go down there and lock up the bathroom at the park. I don't know if we're still doing that or not, but I'd like to check and see. But I don't want to change this. Huh?
I think we're still paying.
No, it's the Steinhatchee Community Center.
Steinhatchee Community Center.
It's to clean, and from what I understand, it's to clean the bathrooms, keep them stocked up, lock the bathrooms at night, and then perform some maintenance of the grounds and things like that.
Oh, so they're doing more than just locking it up, because at first that's what they said they were going to do.
Right.
Okay, all right, let's move along.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, the Shady Grove Community Center, you might can give us a better report on that, but I think it's close to completion, so that's good news.
I peeked in the window the other day when I was going to Madison, stopped by. That is going to be a beautiful facility.
It is. Yes. And it's going to be for all of Taylor County, so.
Right. We want you to have us.
I'm going to put it on that, all of Taylor County.
Them little hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
All right. Next item is your Public Works office building. There's some money budgeted to build a office break room for the Public Works. You could been doing so. You could expand your maintenance shop also.
Is that out there at the
road
on 27?
On the road department's office. Airport tree removal has to be done by April. My notes say that we're going out for bids soon on that. Next one is what we're calling the airport
solar
farm land acquisition. That is the acreage that needs to come back to the airport. That's under survey now. When the survey's complete, we'll have to submit that to FAA for their approval.
What is that, 20 acres? I'm not
sure. I think it's 40.
Okay. 20-something acres, sir. The airport solar farm, though, is different from the land acquisition. That we can call that in the planning stage. I know Ward has made some contacts, initial contacts, and we'll see what's possible out there with that. Going on down, there are some road projects. Contractors Road, partially complete, waiting FDOT programming. Halk Road, Ms. Dempsey asked about that. We've got this on this list now. It is programmed for 2019. Allison Road is a stop or scrap, a widening and resurfacing under design. North Allison Road, same under design. Foley Cutoff is a scrap road under design. Carlton Cemetery Road is under construction. Not sure when that will be complete.
They started putting down pavement.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
They milled up the old pavement?
Well, they milled up the old pavement, but they turned it all in and started added lime rock and got it all ready to.
Oh, okay.
They actually put down the pavement today on right there in front of the dump.
Yeah.
It's getting good. They're doing a good job.
Yeah. And San Pedro Road is also a Scott project. It's in the final design. There are some right-of-way encroachment issues that he's working with the state on. We discussed that in the staff meeting this morning. Kingston Tanner Road, 2019, under design with Ellison Road Projects. Pinecrest Road is a scrap project, waiting design. Ellison Frith Road, waiting design. I think it's 2020s, I should point
out. Hold on now. On Ellison Frith Road, that should be under design with San Pedro.
Okay.
Is what I recall.
Okay.
And
check on that again.
You know, I go ahead.
We'll check on that. Okay, and the sports complex, there's still a little bit of stuff to do out there, adding adult fitness equipment and some playground equipment to close out a FERDAP grant. There is a transportation enhancement project through FDOT, sidewalk from Green Street Arena to Green Street Park. That work will begin this year, and the construction, well, design work, I'm sorry, begin this year, and construction schedule for 2019. There is an airport lighting project, also an FDOT project under design. They're working on bid documents for that. It'll be done this summer. The coastal canal no-wait signage is an issue still with the still an issue with the ordinance that still has to be worked out. Courthouse awning replacement, possibility of getting a grant with the city, so we're going to work on that. We're going to pursue that if that's agreeable to y'all. That would be a half, 50% match in replacing the courthouse awnings.
Maybe that's been helped.
Yeah. Dead Man's Curve, you might remember y'all gave us to go ahead and seek funding on that, be it state or however, how we can, whatever we can go after. We'll keep that on our list. Forest Capitol Hall generator installation. The funding's been obtained. We just got to make arrangements, I guess, God forbid, and get that done. Road striping contracts executed. That will begin. Did you give a date on the
front?
Okay, so. Okay. And then we added on here the host site, campsite, would be part of a possible. Hampton Springs, if that's kind of like where the Hampton Springs Committee wants to go with that. And then we need to start the initial look at issues with the library, the roof replacement. That'll probably be something we put in your next budget.
I think this is very good. This is what I've been wanting for a long, long time. Could you add a start date and a completion date? I see the deadline being like on some of these things that are grant funded and have a deadline. Mm-hmm. I mean, could I just suggest that we have a start date and a sure. completion date? Sure.
Now, do you want a start date for construction starts or?
That's for me now. I'm just going to speak for me, but for me, I don't care about nothing else. I don't care about the design or nothing. Tell me when you're going to start it and when you're going to finish it.
So you want a construction start date?
Now, yeah. What do y'all
that's
think?
That's enough information.
Yeah, we'll give you that if we have it. Some of them you don't have because they're under design and you got to go up for bid. And then,
well, just like the Carlton Cemetery Road, if the gophers held us up, the weather held us up, just one thing after another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they couldn't really say when they're going to start and when they're going to end. You know? Yeah.
We'll add that everywhere we can.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, where we can, because I know when the state does something, they tell you we're going to do this bridge on this date, we're going to start, and we expect completion by the fall, which, you know, right. satisfies a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're carrying Dawson Bridge out in Napa. It's probably not a state project. But I'd like to see an update on the railroad. We wanted to do a good job with the conference the other day. And what the status of that is in your project. It's a county project. The county's getting the grant, but
we can add that county to this.
Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between program and under design?
The program means that the state's put money to it. It's on their 5-year work list.
Okay.
It hasn't gone into the design phase yet.
Okay.
May I ask Mr. Lakey a question?
Yes.
There are a number of these that are under design roads. Is Kenneth trying to do all this? Or is one of these?
I think some of this is contracted out.
Some of this is contracted out?
Yes, sir. I think your Carlton
Center though
was contracted out.
It was.
Uh-huh.
And that
contracting out, that design work ain't cheap, y'all.
No.
I learned that at Harrison Blue.
Yeah. And then he's got to wait to get the state to approve funding for design. So some of this is they're waiting for the money to come through. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Are there any other things that I guess this completes the agenda for tonight?
Like I said, moving forward, we intend to put this on your
okay.
Okay.
Next agenda.
Y'all gonna be
some
busy people.
I want to say one thing. That with our road department, we've got a female in a white truck working for us.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I'm talking ahead on
this. Okay. I have had 2 calls so far telling me what a great job that woman is doing. I had a person, a man call me yesterday, and he said, I said, this is the second call I've got like that. He said, you be sure and tell them that that woman is doing the best job I've ever seen. And so I'm passing that along. And if you can get me her name,
okay.
I will write something that can be put in her permanent file. Because to get 2 calls short, you know, and within a month about this person.
She doesn't drive
a car? No, I think she's out there helping trim and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
That's a good program. I told the resident, that's one of the best money you can see in it. That you $130,000 in that's good, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They slow. They don't put very many hours a week.
The bush cutter.
Yeah. Well, they said she's doing a real good job in the first call. Do we have a woman on a motor grader? Does she do a motor grader too?
No, I haven't seen one on a motor grader.
I bet she could do a good job.
We got women on a tractor with their blades scattering that rock on the
Well, then maybe that's it. But, I mean, to me, I'm so happy to report when I get calls like that, because we don't get a lot of calls like that, for somebody to actually take the time to look up my number and to call me and tell me to be sure that I, you know, commended her, then, you know, so I said, well, I'll do better. I'll write a letter and have it put in her file.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we do get some good calls. I got a call today at the boat ramp and needed some work on a steam hatchet. And the work order I saw before was scallop season, but he called me today and said he got mine done it, and put it back, so.
Yeah.
Some good things happen.
Right. And I appreciate the things at the Shady Grove Park. The light was put back in. It was cleaned up and everything. you know, we still got a little bit, and I know it'll take some time to get that, but yeah, they respond, you know, tell them thank you from me.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it.
Let's go. Yes.
I had the meeting today with the workman's comp carrier, and, the, and they also have our general liability insurance. And what he said to me, that some counties that's got into it got out real quick. But he said, we don't have any idea how many people will be working. And they base their figures on the participation, the community service workers. So his suggestion is, if you are desiring going that, you go a year and do it, and then you look at the liability you have incurred during that year, and then the next year they will do an assessment, and they charge a fee for every person that works on that detail. Plus, if you had any injuries or water claims, it's factored into that. And it could go up,
but not down.
But they don't tell you it's going to go down. But that, keep in mind that when you have a crew that you're going to set up to do that, if you put them on the road, those people have to be instructed by whoever's in charge of them prior to leaving that, for that work detail, as to what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an extensive program to do. And you need more than one person, because if you have it set up at the road department or wherever you're going to set it up, to be there to report for community service on Saturday morning, and your person who's going to oversee them calls in sick, and all those people's out there to do that work, and you don't have anybody trying to do that same petition, that position. So he said he would be happy to get an attorney from their insurance company and come and talk to the board at any time on your general liability insurance. He said to start with, they don't increase it. But what happens is that when you have an accident and you have a claim, your premium stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the on start of it, you wouldn't have any increase on general liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But just, it's, and he's saying, if the board wants to take the risk, do it for a year and see what happens.
Well, can you tell in your records how many people are sentenced to community service?
Well, there's a lot sentenced, there's a lot don't do it.
Well, they, if they're sentenced, they ought to be required to do it and pay.
That's what happens.
But then what happens to them? If I could take them and was sentenced for community service and didn't do it, wouldn't I have to go to jail or something?
No. Well, normally they don't.
Huh?
I
so it doesn't mean anything.
I haven't seen any sent to jail for not doing community service work.
So they just, it's okay.
There's a lot of it.
That's amazing.
Can they still pay anyway? Some of them used to pay rather than do community service. Can still do that?
Some do it, but not many that we have to account for. A lot of them, you know, like on a DUI, they're required to work 50 hours of community service on the first charge. So I'm checking that now to see what we're doing, because we're starting on the DUI part to see what's taking place over there. But yeah, I don't have a record of a lot of them that work in community service for us on there. And they got on the bottom of the sheet that they have filled out that where they can go to do it. The chamber uses them, and different places use them. But
I use people and sign up for them on community service working for people before, and they had a form for me to fill out.
And you use them where?
You use them on construction jobs.
Community service people that you were paying a salary?
No, just they help. They just come help us. You know, they just come help us. They did it for community service, so we'll help you. You know, I don't know how, and I thought, you know,
they will do it at churches too.
Yeah,
they will come help you around.
Well, they do at churches, but the church accepts a lot of
help. Yeah, judge, you know,
don't the judge look at those?
We don't hardly get
them.
No, we don't hardly
probation
get them.
Office.
They're supposed to go to the probation office, but the cases I've audited,
Well, if I get community service, I ain't going to do it.
Me either.
That's what it sounds like.
I don't get by with that.
Okay. I've had somebody wanted to say, man, I got to do 100 and something hours of community service. You county commissioner, could you help me out and sign this? No, sir. I don't want to go to jail.
Well, we've had it reported that people has reported to do community service, and they picked up by a private person, and they wanted somebody else to sign off on. They come and reported it to them.
Well, we were doing after the hurricane. I was helping get up all the trees on the road around, and this fellow offered to do it, and he said he'd help me, and he run a chainsaw and then loaded the stuff in the front end loader and everything else for me. Helping, I was just volunteering to do it, you know.
I mean, that's a little
shame. And I signed off on the phone.
You were doing it for the county, helping us out.
Yeah, I was doing not as good as my heart. He was doing it, but he needed to get 50 hours of community service. You know, whatever.
Looks like we need a lobbyist for the county as well as the insurance company. Like the insurance company, just charge you at will. The county need that kind of lobbyist. How can we buy those folks?
You want a lobbyist?
Well, yeah. If the insurance got the best lobbyist in the country.
We can go out for an RFP.
Well, you see what happens with your liability insurance, and we went in that discussion at length today, and he's going to furnish me with some information. You see, when you get a lot of people is of the opinion now, you file a claim against somebody, and you know you're going to get some dollars because they go to mediation. And they settle at mediation because they don't go to trial, and you get a person here that walks off with $50,000 just because you went to mediation.
Is our insurance still the state association, county commissioner? Is that where insurance is still with them?
No, it's Florida League of Cities.
Okay.
4 hours a day. And see, when anybody gets anything, our attorney fees and everything is added to your liability insurance premium.
And you got to pay half of that mediator's fee usually.
And rest assured that premium's going to be that high until you pay back everything that insurance company's lost.
You know, the funniest thing happened to us. We built a church out there, and we was going to get somebody to help us wash the top. We was paying something like $700 a month for insurance. When that fellow fell, we had a cap on our liability, $5,000. You know, we've been there, and it don't take you long to pay $5,000, you're paying $700 a month. Yeah, they want to go up on you, and then they do it all the time. But then when you get a volunteer to help you do something, and you catch and cut, and you cut your hand, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's open. You liable to even help that person get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you do now is...
Yeah.
Well, if the board decides you want him to come, he said he would be glad to come to a board.
Does he charge anything to do that?
What?
I don't think he does.
He's liable to carry you already. We already paid him.
I'd like to hear what he's got to say. What about you, Jim?
I'm not asking for numbers.
Yeah.
I'm a numbers man.
Well, it's like I told you, he can't give you no numbers because he don't know.
He don't know how many.
If you're going to work 10 or if you're going to work...
Well, he could give us some assumptions. Suppose we work 10 every Saturday or every other Saturday. Give us a figure what that would cost.
Yeah.
Then they give you a little bit of something to go on.
And you know, when we were talking about this, you know, I suggested that we, you know, talk to the judge. And I think we still need to talk to the judge. Maybe we just go talk to him just privately, but you know, if he knows what we're trying to do, maybe he could help us out by sending some people our way.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to us to ask the judge to come up here in front of everybody.
No, just go talk to him in private.
Go talk to him private.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
Hey, get out of here. Going up in.
No, I think we need to go in private. Okay, I think we had a good meeting after all.
Excellent meeting.
Thank y'all.
All that we appreciate.
I think Aaron put this up here. I think I saw him.
Oh,
it's mine. Oh, it's yours? Okay. Okay. Well.
Me? You're going to eat.
You're going to eat.
Thomas, show up.